It's time now for the Noon Ag Show, brought to you by Wayne Schaefer, your country insurance agent in Jerseyville, Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville, taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms, Area Diesel Service of Carlinville, and M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs. And now, with the Noon Ag Show, here's Gabe Osborne.
Thanks, Levi. Now here in Ag News on your Tuesday afternoon. Not just the weather climate, but the political climate is changing for carbon credit trading in agriculture. Carbon markets have been tried with limited success before, and the climate change issue has seen mixed buy-in from GOP lawmakers and producers, wary of forced participation and burdensome rules.
One of the challenges farmers and ranchers and private forest landowners face in entering these markets is knowing where to find the expertise to assist them in implementing the practices that sequester carbon or reduce greenhouse gas emissions, and how to verify and quantify the benefits of these practices.
That was Senate Ag Ranking Member John Bozeman of Arkansas. But for Bozeman and other Republicans, the politics of a narrowly divided Congress and ways agriculture already mitigates carbon have changed the debate, and compromise is in the air.
The growing Climate Solutions Act give farmers and ranchers and foresters a resource at USDA to learn more about the voluntary, and I emphasize the voluntary, opportunities they may wish to pursue. This bill will not open the Farm Bill or cannibalize funding from our Farm Bill programs, and it requires that a majority of the program's advisory council be made up of farmers, ranchers, and private forest landowners.
Lead sponsor of the bill, Republican Mike Braun of Indiana, worked with Senate Ag Chairman Debbie Stabenow of Michigan and other Democrats to achieve a compromise.
To match up naturally good stewards of the land, like farmers are, both tree farmers and ag farmers, and you get all the buy-in that we did over time. It's surprising that we are here today by standards of how things normally move along, but thank goodness we are.
With now more than 50 Senate co-sponsors and more than 70 agriculture and environmental groups backing the Growing Climate Solutions Act that won a unanimous committee vote recently. In the latest news from the Department of Agriculture, the department last week announced the names of individuals who will hold senior positions in Washington. Kamara Neal was named administrator for the Rural Business Cooperative Service. Most recently, Neal served as president of the Southern Bancorp Community Partners. Mike Schmidt was named senior advisor in the Office of the Secretary. No, he's not the third baseman for the Phillies. Previously, Schmidt served as the senior advisor for USDA's Farm Production and Conservation Mission Area since January 20th of this year. Lisa Ramirez was named director of the Office of Partnership and Public Engagement. She most recently served as the chief innovative officer for the Lubbock, Texas Independent School District. Finally, Doug McCaleb was named senior advisor in the Office of the Secretary. Most recently, McCaleb was senior advisor for the Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service. Ag Secretary Vilsack says they will play an integral role in our mission to create a department that represents and serves all Americans, addresses the climate crisis, builds new and fair markets for American producers, and rebuilds rural America. The Beef It's What's for Dinner brand, managed by the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, launched a new beef campaign highlighting real beef farmers and ranchers. Consumers will be invited to learn more about how cattle farmers and ranchers around the country are employing sustainable practices to care for the land and produce high-quality beef. Recent scientific research funded by the Beef Checkoff shows that due to decades of continuous improvement efforts on farms and ranches across the country, the United States is the leader in sustainable beef production. According to the Environmental Protection Agency, greenhouse gas from beef cattle only represents 2% of emissions in the United States. Additionally, 90% of what cattle eat is forage and plant leftovers that people cannot eat. The campaign will be coming to life in various ways, including new advertising, interactive math on beefitswhatsfordinner.com, and a series of interviews showcasing sustainability from farm to table on local TV and radio, and influencer partnerships and content partnerships. And you'll be able to hear a few ads we'll have here next month in May, as May is Beef Month across the nation. And let's move on now to Illinois State Ag News, and we'll start off with the latest crop progress and condition report from last week. For the report, we join State Ag statistician Mark Sloysener.
Cool and dry weather continued across Illinois last week. There was an average of 4.3 days suitable for field work, and farmers used those days to plant corn and soybeans and also to prepare fields for planting. Temperatures averaged only 45.9 degrees last week, and that was nearly 10 degrees below normal. Weekly rainfall totals averaged 1/2 inch across the prairie state, and that was almost 1/2 inch below normal for this time of year. Topsoil moisture supplies were rated 11% short, 82% adequate, and 7% surplus, about the same as the previous week. Corn planting reached 23% finished compared to 33% 1 year ago and 28% for the 5-year average. Only 2% of corn acres had emerged as of Sunday. For soybeans, 18% of acres are now planted compared to 16% 1 year ago and 6% normally. 19% of winter wheat acres are headed compared to 5% last year and 11% normally. The condition of the Illinois wheat crop was reported as 2% poor, 27% fair, and 71% good to excellent, a little better than the previous week. Pasture conditions were rated 2% poor, 18% fair, and 80% good to excellent. That is better than the previous week. Soil temperatures remain cool and range from the mid-40s to the lower 50s across Illinois on Sunday. This has been Mark Sloysener with the Heartland Region, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
In other state ag news, jumping worms are now known to be in 23 Illinois counties. They're unlike regular earthworms that gardeners welcome. Jumping worms are bad for the soil. They look like regular earthworms until later on in the summer or the fall when they've reached more than 6 inches long. They have what looks to be a milky white color, and they wiggle vigorously when they're disturbed. University of Illinois horticulture educator Richard Henschel says spring, however, is too early to identify them.
They hatch from an egg inside a cocoon kind of structure. It'll be into May before that happens, and then usually by June-ish, early July, they're large enough that we can actually see that they're much bigger than the normal earthworm we're used to. And then by fall, September-ish, or September-October, they can be 6-8 inches in length. They're not at all tasty. Birds don't like them. And these worms aren't like one every 3 feet. They're in clusters. They're in groups, and you'll know. The soil will begin to look different. It looks like it looks like coffee grounds.
The worms may not be harmful to a garden where plants are fed with organic materials that are added from time to time, but they can hurt a forest-like ecosystem where plants don't get a gardener's help so much. Henschel says, for now, removing the giant worms and throwing them in the trash is the best way to get rid of them. There's nothing known at this time to kill them that won't also kill good worms, too. And finally, in local ag news now for your Tuesday, don't forget coming up this weekend, Friday and Saturday, the University of Illinois Extension Montgomery County Master Gardeners will be holding their Mother's Day hanging basket sale again on Friday from 9 till 6 and Saturday morning from 9 a.m. till they're sold out. It'll be held in the parking lot between the Masonic Lodge and Brown's Insurance in Hillsboro. Proceeds from this benefit go to the Montgomery County Farmers Institute. And just in time for Mother's Day, they have 10-inch premium hanging baskets with assorted colors, sun, and shade varieties. All plants are $15 and, again, go to benefit the Montgomery County Farmers Institute coming up in September. Again, the Mother's Day hanging basket sale being held this Friday and Saturday at the parking lot between Brown's Insurance and the Masonic Lodge in Hillsboro. Also coming up this weekend, the Jerseyville FFA chapter will be holding their plant sale. That'll be held this coming Saturday from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Jerseyville High School greenhouse, located behind the high school. And in other local ag notes for your Tuesday, the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, along with Country Financial, will be sponsoring a benefit golf outing coming up in the later part of July. It'll be held at the Indian Springs Golf Course on Route 185, just south of Fillmore. There'll be a shotgun start at 8 a.m., and it'll feature various contest prizes and lunch. The event will benefit the Montgomery County food pantries across the area, and more details will be coming with sign-up information soon to be available on the Farm Bureau's website and their Facebook page. Again, that's the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, along with your country financial agents in Montgomery County. They'll be sponsoring a benefit golf outing coming up in later part of July. Be expecting more details and information to come on Facebook and the Montgomery County Farm Bureau Facebook page. And that'll wrap up your Ag News here for a Tuesday afternoon. But remember, you can always send us your Ag News by an email at WSMI@WSMIRadio.com. So again, for your Tuesday afternoon, April 27th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.